Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 449. We're down two this week. Mike is doing work, air quotes there, and bad weather has kept Dave home, which is not surprising as we're getting Snowmageddon 12 or whatever for the year.
Snowmageddon 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Okay, fair enough. But we're supposed to have ugly snow, so we probably won't drag this one out to, you know, the three-hour mark like we normally try to, so that we can get home.
No, we do.
We don't try. Just sometimes it goes longer.
I'm happy with an hour.
Okay.
This is free entertainment. An hour's all you get.
So I need to start charging for the longer ones?
I said that a long time ago. You need to set up a Patreon.
Ah, okay. No.
We just give this.
We're paid according to our content. So. But, so I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. I was here anyway. Joining me tonight are the brave few.
Brandon.
Pat.
Spencer.
So, I honestly don't remember any news. Yeah, I don't remember anything of note.
It's an odd week anyway, like, because next week you'll start to see the previews of the previews. And
right,
then, yeah.
Right, yeah. It is weird. So we have to do a special FOC tomorrow for DC because Monday's a holiday and whatever. And one of the books that's on FOC next week, it was one of those, I honestly wonder how many people know is actually coming. I feel like putting a poll on the Facebook page, just going, how many people knew that DC has a Joker book shipping in 3 weeks?
I didn't know DC had a Joker book shipping in 3 weeks.
Okay, so that's...
Or I knew that it was...
I knew they had a Joker book coming.
Yeah.
Well, I just meant coming.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I looked at it, I'm like, oh, they're doing a Joker book. And it's like, you guys need to do a lot more better. You know, if you're going to take away our advertising with the previews, they need to start stepping up.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know there was a Joker book coming.
Well, you'll get a poster in 5 weeks.
Right. Well, supposedly the next one we're getting is Rorschach 1.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Timely.
What?
5 came out today. Yeah.
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 I just draw a giant schlong on it.
Yeah.
Just, like...
It's like... You're not even trying. We're like, well, it's evergreen. I'm like, how is this evergreen?
This Watchmen, okay, not a spin-off. Well, no, but Watchmen is something that.
Yes and no. My problem with the Watchmen one was where they said, well, it's advertising Doomsday.
Not the TV show. I'm talking about the original Watchmen.
Right, but here's my problem with it. They sent it the week after the show finale aired.
Yeah, no, I...
Anytime during the season, oh, there's a Watchmen book, I'll look into it. They literally waited until after the interest in the show ended to ship it. And it's like, you know, you're better off, you know, sending this 3 months later. You know, it's... That literally, you know, that's like getting, you know, the Valentine's Day stuff next week. Or getting, you know, the Halloween stuff the first week of November. You know, it's like...
Which happens every year.
That's like, I got the Christmas ornament came the week after Christmas. And then their excuse was, no, it's not late. It's 51 weeks early. It's like, yeah, you can go to hell. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll pay you next Christmas.
How about that? Well, since it's early.
I mean, like, literally, the, you know, even shipping it in June would be better than the week after Christmas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll not be renewing that that program. Although I have a feeling they will not be renewing that program either.
Why? If they can print a poster for $5 and get you to buy it for $30 to promote their product,
yeah.
Why would they not do that?
Well, they just seem to show little interest. Because in that case, if they're making $25 a poster, at least make it timely.
That's not the point. They put in minimal effort and get $25.
Well, right.
I didn't say it's a good customer-focused
gotcha.
Business model.
Gotcha.
I just said it's a good business model.
Fair enough.
But after the Joker, I know there's a Batman book coming. I know there's a detective book.
Right.
But
there's that Batman Urban Legends book that's in the anthology.
I didn't know about that one.
Yeah.
But I have no idea when.
No, I agree. Because they're not promoting it. The other thing is I have nothing to promote. Because all I can do is go onto their website and it's a 90-page PDF. Yeah. And their attitude was, well, just print it and hand it out to customers. It's like, oh, I'll have my print room take care of that.
Yeah.
Who's doing a 90-page color printing to hand
it
out?
You have to do multiple copies of.
Oh, absolutely. I'd have to do, 70 copies to go along with the previews. And that gets pricey. And
yeah. And you get expensive. 5 per ream of paper. So you need like 8 cases. Well, and the health toner.
Yeah.
More expensive than gold.
Yeah, and then, and I'm like, or I'll put forth the same amount of effort they put forth. Because I don't even see ads, And then my other favorite thing, this is a good one, is all their news releases, they send links to the Hollywood Reporter. Because, I check the Hollywood Reporter every morning, as does everybody in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't?
But their attitude is, you don't? Why wouldn't you check the Hollywood Reporter every day? So, whole new world out there, but I wish them well.
To be fair, it's not any moral.
To be fair.
It's no worse than any other news source.
Right, but it's not one I would go to. I'd go to a comic book news site. but not the Hollywood Reporter.
That's crazy talk.
I mean,
I don't know why they don't pick a preferred comic book provider.
Right, or then they do not Games Radar.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I'm not a game person. It's just...
I'm sure those sites get more traffic, but it's not the
right
traffic. Right,
exactly. But I guess it's Warner Brothers going, hey, this is where we put out our stuff, so who knows. But yeah, I think, especially with all the relaunching coming after Future State, I think they're going to see a big lack of interest because people don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
Gosh, these numbers are low. Well, yeah, nobody knows this book exists.
Right, but Future State, they're saying it was over their expectations.
Well,
I think they expected people to not buy in at all.
Well,
and then they
don't
got
forget,
a little bit.
They're all returnable, too. So they haven't started the returns yet.
Yeah.
So, now, sadly for me, most of the books sold really, really well. Except for the Batman books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Batmans.
Batman, I didn't go big on. I went half Batman, and I was probably 50% too high.
So you should have went quarter Batman.
Yeah, but that's 25 copies. That's hard to believe a Batman book is only going to sell 25 copies.
Yeah, that's the primary Batman book, and it's not like,
But it's also $8.
I know. Oh, I know. I'm paying.
So I think they're going to be a little surprised when your returns come in. And
there's a lot of Batman.
A lot of Batman.
A lot of $8 books you now got a credit.
Yeah.
Was there enough time for you to cut your orders on,
oh, no.
Dark Detective 4 or anything?
No, because we had to order 4 before we saw 1. So, yeah. By everything shipping in 2 months, everything was rushed. We had orders for... Well, actually, orders for 3 were due before we saw 1. Orders for 4 we did. But by that point, why not, just keep it even, So at least I have the same numbers. But, yeah, not good. Oh, I have a bit of news. So my friends at Bad Idea.
Uh-oh.
he did say his friends. He didn't say.
I think
this.
He meant that
so
sarcastically.
He didn't say them some bitches.
I agonized over my order on ENIAC number 1. Because, I think we talked about this last week, where I had, 17 pre-orders. And of those, 5 I don't know. 5 were leads they sent me. I did have fun when I asked them if there were any more leads since the last one they sent. And I made a Glengarry Glen Ross, we need the good leads joke. And then he then sent out an email to everybody and used a Glengarry Glen Ross thing. And I'm like, well, he got me. He understood what I said because I just said the quote, not in context, but just. But he understood me and I felt good about that. So I ordered 25 only because 5 I didn't know. I think another 5 I questioned whether they were going to get 2, 3, and 4 because they were the kind of people that would just want number 1s. Uh-huh. So my fear was being stuck on 2, 3, and 4 and having too many of those unsold. So I hedged my bets, just went a little over the pre-orders, just hoping to pretty much break even if those extra 2, 3, and 4s don't sell. Which is always fun to order a book in hopes of breaking even. Yay. But, so then they sent out an email saying, you guys over-ordered, and we really want you to cut your orders because we think you've ordered too many books. Well, I knew I hadn't. You know, I only had 8 for the shelf or whatever. You know, nothing extravagant, and figuring those would be requested between now and when the book comes out in March. So then we get an email, I want to say Friday.
It's always Friday for these people.
Yeah. Saying, yeah, well, we asked you to cut your orders and you didn't, and we don't have enough books. The other thing is, last week, they added a bunch of new stores. Like, they did a thing on Twitter in welcoming new stores to the group. A whole lot of stores. I don't know exactly how many, but a bunch of stores to the group. Mm. And then Friday, so then after that, after we'd placed our orders, and then they added new stores, they sent an email saying, well, unfortunately, they don't have enough books, and everybody's getting allocated to 51% of their order. Well, that's a problem. So that means I'm getting 12, and I need 17. So I'm like, well, this is no good. So that means, you know, 5 pre-orders aren't getting it. And I'm like, which 5 do you want me not to give? Because I'm like, my inclination is the 5 that contacted you that I don't know are now not going to get the book. That doesn't look good on you, you know. But so they did, they found 5 extra for me. My guess is, you know, somebody who ordered 500 is only now going to get 245. So, but that's really not a good look. And I was listening to a Challengers podcast, and they made a really good point. And I knew these are not new guys. These are the guys that relaunched Valiant and ran Valiant.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
They know they're not rookies.
They know how the comic book business works.
Right. They are very knowledgeable as to how the comic book business works. So it's either a big mistake and they printed too soon and what they thought was printing was way too little, or they're trying to create artificial demand. And here's a hot book and it's short and you better get it while you can. And so either of which I'm not a fan of, because it puts us in a bad situation where we ordered product and now we're not getting what we ordered. Even better, we ordered and paid for product and are not getting what we ordered. Now, the extras will be filled with the not first print editions. So it's not like I'm not going to have the books, but it's still kind of not cool.
How many not first prints do you want?
Right.
Because if it's a big speculator book,
right, they're not going to
want
those. They're
not going to want the not first prints.
Correct.
Especially when they're not second prints, they're not first prints.
Right.
And if you miss the first issue, you probably are going to look for it someplace else, potentially, and find it, in which case, you know, you're just going to come back for the seconds and thirds, or you're not going to.
Or you're not, because in this is the one where everybody's going to want number one. It's literally the first book by this new publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Those are always, you know, there's only one first, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then now we have to order the next book, Tankies, and, you know, everybody that I talked to was kind of like, well, is this going to be allocated?
Yeah,
are we
going to
get screwed on this? Do we even bother? And Friday, I was very close to just saying, I'm out.
No, I know. When you and I were talking,
you know, why should I go through with this? You know, you're setting me up to fail. And I don't appreciate that. And also, then the big problem is that Challengers didn't mention, but a big part of this is trust.
Yeah.
And they've lost my trust. So it's like, how hard am I going to push their stuff when they're already playing games?
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of that. I get their job is to sell as much as they can and everything and hype it up and everything.
Right, but it's to sell as much as they can. They can't do that by underprinting.
They're overprinting on the not first print.
Right,
you know.
Well, what's the cost difference between printing
10,000
books and 12,000 books?
I hear you.
Especially when you limited the number of stores that can carry it. now you're limiting even further the number. Like that.
We're adding more stores on.
That's what I didn't get, that they added more stores and then claimed, whoa, you know, we have too many. That's one problem we're having with Comic Hub right now, is the resources, whatever, the website, basically, I guess, bandwidth or whatever, is being stretched too thin with all these things they're trying to do amongst all the stores. And it's stretched too thin, there's not enough bandwidth, and it's going to cost more to get more bandwidth and stuff like that.
That sounds like his problem.
That's what I'm like, so you have too many stores, how is that my fault? That you added too many stores for your infrastructure.
Yeah.
And you're making it, oh, it's my fault, and now I have to pay more because you added too many stores.
Especially when you were like a pretty early adopter. Right,
I think I was four.
But if you're adding stores, those stores are paying.
Right, so but they're not paying enough to. Yeah, oh, I get it. I understand.
Cover the cost.
No, no, I understand. But and a big part of that was, and how is this my problem? Yeah. No, I get it.
And the other thing is that would, if he invests in more infrastructure, or I guess he's not in the United States, so it's different. But you can put a capital expense for the growth of your business across your books for multiple years. I don't know if you can do that.
I'm sure New Zealand tax code is probably similar.
Yeah. So it's like you don't have to.
You don't have to expense it here.
Yeah, you don't have to eat that all in one go. So, but.
Yeah, so boo.
The other thing is, if his infrastructure is on like AWS, he should be able to expand on that. It makes me think he has old infrastructure.
It's whatever. Since it's all hosted in the cloud, that's where everything is.
Well, the whole purpose of the cloud is
right.
If you get a big rush of traffic, the cloud can scale.
The problem he's having is, and specifically where his problem is online transactions. As people are processing them, it's timing out. And so it's saying that the transaction didn't process when it actually did, and people are getting billed twice. But he's saying it's because it's timing out because it's taxing the bandwidth, whatever it is. I don't know that part.
It sounds like your problem, not mine.
Right, but again, yeah, it's like,
well, if somebody gets charged twice, that's Colin's problem.
Right, and then our problem also is if we refund it, then we don't get to refund the fees. And so we're eating those. And then so his solution is he's going to take a percentage of every transaction now. And it's just like, this is just getting complicated. So. Okay. So let's get to, we got a question from Lord Retail. Okay. Serious question, though I know there's a potential for a gag answer. Each show member, name a show. Name a Marvel Comics character they think will be in use in a movie or television show someday. Nothing obvious or already known to be coming. So I have one in mind, which
all right.
I think is brilliant. Tim will like mine. Like, I don't know if Howard the Duck has been announced, because I'd definitely love to see a Howard show. Oh, is there a cartoon? Okay.
There was a cartoon. I don't know if it's still...
And he was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Barely. But...
But it counts.
Fair enough.
Twice. And Endgame.
Yeah.
Didn't you show Endgame?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
But I'd love to see a Howard show, because I think that could be done. But in the same vein, there's another character who's with an attitude that you guys might not even know. But Terror Inc., I think, could be a fantastic book or movie.
Is that the one where the guy's like, he's sewn together or whatever?
Yeah, he's undead.
Yeah.
And basically, like, if he loses an arm, he just takes another arm from some other victim and sticks it on and stuff. And it's basically like almost like a cult mystery detective type thing with a real, you know, wry sense of humor that someone who's dead basically has. I just remember I thought he was fascinating back in the 90s when he had his original series, and then they've done two miniseries since. And it's just bizarre enough that I think it could work in the world of Swamp Thing and Doom Patrol. I think it could be a fun, completely different show. Not a huge breakout, but I think it could have a real cult following that just really, really loved that show.
No, I don't see that something like that on Disney Plus, and that's where it would end up.
Well, it'd be on Hulu.
Yeah, that's something that could work on Hulu. Yeah. Because, like, I don't see... Well, yeah, Marvel would have to be on Disney. Because I'm like, on HBO Max, it could definitely work.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, I would say The Punisher, because they haven't announced a Punisher... Right. And that's like, why don't you have something like
it? You're not going to see it on Disney. Plus. Right, right. No, fair enough. But yeah, it could definitely be on Hulu. But it's just, I'm like, because, who, D-Man, who are you going to say? But I'm like, Terror Inc. is such a bizarre, but definitely, there's a group for that. The What We Do in the Shadows crowd, I think, could really like a show well done using Terror Inc.
To do it.
Yeah. So I think something like that could be...
He already has the relationship with Marvel because he did Thor.
Yeah. So I think that was my vote. I think that could be fun.
I think Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
That was one that I was thinking about.
Because you could sell that to the younger crowd.
Yeah.
And there's, it's dinosaurs.
Killing me. Yeah. They're killing me. They have these books and then they're out of print. It's maddening. Absolutely mad.
Tim was saying all your Punisher stuff is flying off the shelves now.
For some reason, I don't know why. They're buying it like crazy.
Yeah, but that's all. All the old stuff's out of print.
Yeah, but I mean, even just the comics.
No. Doctor Doom.
Doctor Doom show. That could be interesting.
Well, he's already been in the Fox stuff.
But not as his own show, though.
We're talking about...
Yeah.
Well, we know that because they've already announced there's going to be a Fantastic Four movie.
Okay.
And you can't do Fantastic Four without...
Well, they're doing a Loki show.
Yeah, but you can't do a Fantastic Four movie without having Dr. Doom in it.
Right.
Actually, did anybody see the Inspiration Four commercial on the Super Bowl?
Yeah, people thought it was a Fantastic Four.
That's what I did, too, because you had the Falcon and Winter Soldier commercial, and then right after that, Inspiration 4, and it looked like the Fantastic Four logo, and I'm like, is this real, or is this like a stealth? So I went to their website, and it's SpaceX. I was like, okay, well, I guess it is real. I was like, oh, man. That would have been cool if they were stealth telling us that the Fantastic Four movie was coming.
So I think... there's a lot of X-Men who have never appeared in a movie. And a lot of those are like...
you could have a dupe show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of those characters are like... because they're definitely making a push to like include more women.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went with... I know we got Warpath, but like if you put Thunderbird in the new one, like you get different more ethnicities inclusive. There.
Yeah.
But the
North Star.
My official answer will be the baby Hulk from that Hulk.
Old man.
Yeah, old man Hawkeye. I didn't read that, but I know that there was the baby Hulk in it, and it's
very narrow.
Jamie Renner's getting old, right? You could go with like Red Hulk or something like that, but like I'm thinking, Red Hulk probably will appear, but like
which
at
Red
some
Hulk
point, then? Yeah, at some point.
I still don't understand the one that was in that U.S. Avengers or whatever.
But see, that has to be an animated show because of the way the rights are for the Hulk. That's why we've never gotten another Hulk movie.
Well, if it's an old man Hawkeye, if it's an old man Hawkeye movie. Right.
Yeah.
You wait 10 or 20 years. Baby Yoda has kind of run its course.
Yeah, you got Baby Hulk.
And now you have Baby Hulk to.
I'm gonna say Baby Yoda's probably not gonna be back for season 3 if he's off with Luke.
No, that's what they said.
I bet it'll be like a, like 30 seconds kind of thing. Put him in like a little a new Jedi outfit or something, so that they can sell a billion.
Yeah, they
gotta
have something to generate fourth quarter profit margin. Yeah. So.
I was thinking like a Scarlet Spider, even if it's just a costume change and then you don't do the actual clone thing, but if it's just a costume change, or I wasn't sure if the from other movies counted, I would like to see Marvel's version of like a Sandman, or like them kind of like mid-tier like Spider-Man villains that are cool.
And that's the thing, like I would because Sandman has been on screen before, I would disqualify him. But at the same time, like Miles Morales, he's had a cartoon.
Yeah.
Does that count? If you bring him into live action?
But then so Miles,
that
would
also been alluded to because you had Aaron Davis and he talked about his nephew.
And at some point in time, they're going to do a Miles movie or something. Yeah. Like, it's. Yeah. Normally, my go to answer for something like that is Mysterio, but.
We got old Fishbowl Head.
Yeah.
No.
So, yeah. Take that, Lord Retail.
I'm surprised he didn't have an example.
The rumor is Keanu Reeves is Kraven.
I don't think
he's big enough for Kraven.
Well, but he's... Well, Kraven's a hunter, so, like, he uses guns and, like...
Yeah, but you see Kraven as this, you know, this, like, physical, like...
Yeah, but... Like, even, a hunter
like, Mysterio is jacked in the comics compared to what Jake Gyllenhaal is.
Yeah, but, like, a hunter is... They're stealthy and quiet.
Yeah.
And, like, I believe him as a hunter, and, like, if you're going to do some of the...
But is it just going to be John Wick in a vest? And a mustache?
Basically. But, I mean,
Theodore Preston, or, no, Ted Theodore Logan?
Yeah.
You could give him, like, because he's older, you could do, like, Kraven's Last Hunt, or... Give him a son or something.
But you
like
can't
that.
Do Kraven's Last Hunt without already establishing him. Like, it would lose its impact.
Yeah. But you could establish him on, like, one of the Disney shows and then put him on in a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that was the only question we had.
All right.
So, let's talk about some books and get our butts out of here.
All right. I'll start.
Patrick.
Yeah. Maniac in New York.
I read that.
That book was awesome. That book is Jason Takes Manhattan if the movie would have started with Jason taking Manhattan. Like, just put him in New York, in Times Square, on New Year's Eve, let him go nuts. That's how it starts. The guy is known as Harry the Maniac. He comes from Glasswater Lake, New Jersey, as opposed to Crystal Lake. This book is better than it has any right to ever be. It was just really fun. You know, it was like a... kind of the new hotshot lead for the Maniac task force who, if you've ever seen Punisher War Zone, it's like the Punisher task force where that's where they dump the people they don't like. But, you know, she wants to take them down. And apparently her boyfriend was the first victim of Harry. So that's why she wants to take him out. But it's a really fun book.
Fun book, yes.
Next one I'll talk about, Colin, I think you read this one too, Redemption, number one.
I read that too, yeah.
So this was kind of cool.
Western.
Yeah, but it's not Western,
but
though.
It's
like
Western.
Steampunk,
yeah,
Western.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's very typical of the old Westerns where, like, the preacher is kind of running the town and, you know, he's all powerful. And what you find out is there's, an underground rebellion going on. And there's, the character, and I forget what her name is.
She knows the Butcher or something
like
that?
Yeah, the Butcher. That was it, the Butcher. They want to the Underground Rebellion wants to recruit her because they think that she can help them, but the people that actually know her, like, we don't want to bring her in. She truly is a monster. But, you know, they go out looking for her, and She is every bit that monster. Like,
but as girls, yeah.
She takes out like 15 or 16 dudes, yeah, like by herself. It was.
Yeah, but the girl is like on the run because she's trying to get away because something was going to happen, and
it was like
she was being chased and ends up at her house. Yeah.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
You too.
You too.
So yeah, that was really good. Hellblazer, Rise and Fall, number 3.
That was great.
This was...
That's the Tom Taylor one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is this the last one?
Yeah, this was the last one.
I was surprised. I didn't realize it was only a,
Is it one of those bigger ones?
It is. Yeah, it's one of the Black Label books, the oversized ones. I don't want to give too much away, because you really have to read this beginning to end. But there were some pretty good parts. John hooks up with Satan in a men's room. It ended exactly how a Constantine book should end.
It had my favorite line was at the end, he's saying goodbye to the devil. It's like, well, I won't see you again. Or hopefully I won't see you again. And the devil goes, oh, I guarantee we'll meet again. Yeah. I enjoyed
I'll
that
see you at
much.
The end.
Yeah, that was very good. But yeah, it was... Outstanding. You know, it was someone who understood the character.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a clean character. He's not, you know.
No, and they didn't.
He did a lot of good things. I did like the things he did at the end, like the dead police partner,
mm-hmm,
kind of getting a good ending for him, meeting up with the spirit of the girl that he accidentally killed.
Yeah.
But yeah, John's a bastard, so.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, and I love the art. The Derek Robertson art was great. I can't wait to read Space Bastards number 2. Had a nice little interaction with him. Space Bastards number 1. You read that, didn't you?
Yeah, I love
it.
Space
was
Bastards.
Just gore galore. You know, just basically it's postman trying to deliver stuff, and it's a free for all, and whoever actually, and the more times it changes hands, the price goes up. So people are, you know, killing each other left and right, trying to get each package. And so I commented to him that, you know, I was just so surprised that you would draw a book with so much violence. And he responded back. He was like, yes, it's so out of
character.
My character. So, but yeah, no, that was good. That's going to be a nice little, you know, trade that's going to sell for a long time.
And the last one I'll talk about is Man's World number 2.
Yes.
Still didn't read one yet. So,
okay. So in this one, the group that were the tourists, they, after they crashed, decide, okay, well, you know, we got to walk back to the resort hotel. And at first they get attacked by like these, what are they, like gorilla rhinoceros things, and they fight them off. And then they get caught up in a, like leg traps, like snares almost, and they're hanging upside down, and, you know, then it kind of, it shifts to Deliverance a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of does.
And they beat the hell out of the guy that's like the UFC fighter.
Like easily.
Yeah, easily. And then the guy's like, all right, I'll tell you what, just one more punch and then I'll leave you alone. And the guy won't get up. So he punches
the guy who
the friend,
who runs
like
the burger place.
Joint.
Who's like hung upside down.
Yeah, and like rips his jaw off. So, you know, we're not dealing with like average strength guys. These are obviously like enhanced or something like that. You know, they're farm boy strong.
I was surprised though at the like the water work scene, the that part of it. I wasn't expecting that.
And then the people at the resort they're like, we got to go find these guys because we can't have a famous client die in the woods.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a bad luck.
But they can't because there's a big storm
yeah.
coming in, so they can't go out and look for him.
Yeah. So nothing that we haven't seen before, just kind of packaged a little differently.
Yeah.
But, all right, so I read.
All right.
If Pat wants to go.
I read Deep Beyond, number one. Nobody?
No. I did. I read that. I got very confused at one point.
Yeah, it...
Very confused.
It's an Image miniseries. The cover looked cool, so I gave it a try, but it's...
Yeah, Mirko Andolfo.
Yeah, who I'm not familiar with.
She did... I'm pretty sure she's the one that did that book. I think she's Italian. She did that book, Unnatural, and she's doing stuff at Ablaze. Although that might just be printing her European stuff. But
yeah,
so it's kind of a name, but very, very confusing.
So it starts off with in a submarine of sorts, or maybe it's an
underwater
lab.
Yeah.
And we see a girl who you assume is like some kind of scientist doing research. And she is covered in
boils.
Like,
yeah.
Well, like plants and fungus, because there's like...
Oh, I took it more as like boils. You know, like...
But some of them were like almost mushroomy.
Oh, okay.
And
she, the only way you could identify her was this leaf tattoo on her arm.
Yeah, and she had a...
right.
Like a breather.
And she's leaving a message for somebody, because she's like...
We don't know who.
Right, right.
Saying, oh, I shouldn't have...
And then something crashes. Looks like it's crashing through a window or something.
And it has eyes.
Yeah.
So it's presumably some kind of giant monster.
Yeah.
So we cut to.
Meanwhile.
Yeah.
At the Legion of Doom.
Like this boy being escorted to what seems like a party or something, by Secret Service type military, and he. They get to the guards, and the guards say, okay, you can come in. You're the president's son. You can come in, but your guards have to stay out. So obviously that's very suspicious. But anyway, he goes in, and he starts to party. And this girl who like knows him, she gets up, and she starts to like basically toast him.
Right.
And she brings him up on stage, and she's talking. And she basically... she starts to, the tone becomes like very clearly critical.
Right. And then people start assassinating the security staff.
She sort of like gives the signal, and then they stab all of the armed guards with knives.
Yeah.
Even though they're literally holding machine guns, and this seems like a terrible plan.
Yeah. And then a gas starts. For some reason,
the roof like comes off and kills everybody.
Yeah.
So, and they talk about the gas and like this is the Earth.
And it turns out that was the son of the president.
Yeah, the son of the president. So he's dead. He's got the same stuff. So we have like polluted the Earth so much, and we were carnivores, and it's very preachy. And then the Earth like struck back, and the Earth striking back is what this plague diseases that's killing everybody, and people are isolated in these cities, and like there's really no interconnectivity.
It's like safer in the middle of the country away from the coast because the water is bad too. And then you focus in on this one guy, this research scientist, living like in a silo or something
in like Washington DC or something like that. So and then he basically gets, I'll just call it kidnapped,
right,
by some people who are trying to get out of the city under like water,
right, and he happens to live in a shut down pathway to the outside. But then switch back again to another scene previously where he's going in and talking to the president, who just lost her son, and she's all upset because her wife is out of communication, and it turns out her wife is the person from the beginning
tattoo.
That's underground.
Yeah. And the person who kidnaps him...
Well, hang on.
Okay.
Can't get there yet. So, it's just so confusing. So, talking to her, and then she knocks a picture over as he leaves, and she picks it up and unfolds it and realizes there's another person in this wedding photo also has the tattoo. It's like she didn't know she was a twin or something, or forgot or something.
Yeah.
So then cut to the guy who left, and he's all upset because the president's wife, who's down underwater, he used to date or be married to or something, which
she
got...
She was secretly into him.
Right.
And he's the one who she was... that's what
she
I...
Ran, yeah, he was going to go with her, and he said, no, we don't have to. Yeah,
the message was for him.
Right. So...
So convoluted.
But then it turns out when they get above ground that the person that kidnapped the guy is the twin.
Yeah.
It was very complicated.
And now he and the twin have to go on like a... like a
quest, because like, now yeah, they're in the outside, and yeah, the one other person they were with got eaten by a monster, and
yeah
that was a book.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to read any more of that. It was a little too confusing. So the next one I read was Fear Case.
I read that too.
Number one.
You don't have anything to talk about now.
I won't. We're down to one book for me.
So
Matt Kent, Tyler Jenkins, who did that book about the town that was separated from the rest of the world. I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, well-known team, Dark Horse book. Really interesting book. I was enjoying it until the end. And it was an art issue.
Yeah. So, basic concept with this one is when you join the Secret Service, your first case is a cold case that you are only allowed to work on for 1 year.
Because it'll drive you insane.
Because it'll drive
you. You'll be so obsessed with it.
It'll drive you insane. And in fact, there are people... This has been a cold case for hundreds of years, since the beginning of the Secret Service. And there are people who have retired from the Secret Service who actually still investigate this case because they are so obsessed with it. So the people who are handing him the case file say, okay, we have to be done with this case in 3 weeks. So it'll eventually become yours, but we think we can solve it in the next 3 weeks. We have a lead, and they go to... they kind of leave that guy sort of with the box, like a box of, you know, a case file, and they go to investigate this lead, and they get to the house, and they go inside, and they find a little girl in a closet, and then, how do they find the, something going on?
No.
they,
sound like something.
Yeah, the plow truck hit a speed bump.
Mm.
With the plow
blade. They find the little girl who's hiding, and then they find the mother, and
But, I mean, it's been showing throughout history, like, the first documented time was somewhere, like, with the Nazis, and it was lost in Poland.
Well, I didn't even talk about the case.
Oh, you didn't even talk about the case.
Yeah,
okay.
Into that. But the basic idea here is, it's really a MacGuffin, but it's a good MacGuffin, is it's this case that has been being passed from person to person, and it's to all kinds of, you know, terrible effects.
Right, and the basic rule behind the case is you have to give it to the person you hate most in the world within 3 days, or the person you love most in the world will die.
Yeah. So she gives it to
her husband.
Her ex-husband.
Right.
The husband she wants.
Soon to be ex.
Soon to be ex.
Yes.
And then what's he do?
I think he opens it.
Yeah, he opens
it. But you're not supposed to open it, because if you look at it, you'll die right away, too. Okay. And they, like, find her. She's on the side of a pool. But, yeah, the idea is this case has been around forever, and nobody knows exactly what it is.
And it just keeps passing and passing, yeah.
But my art issue was, so this is her husband. I realize it's a visual. Mm-hmm. And the sound of breaking glass, and all of a sudden she's like, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he went. You know, there's this case, those were the instructions that when they were given to me, blah, blah, blah. And then this is the person they find.
That doesn't look like
him. Yeah. That's not he doesn't her
look,
husband.
Yeah, he doesn't even look the same ethnicity.
Right. So I'm very, very confused as to who that is.
No, that did strike me. It looked like he started to draw like one of the detectives.
Right.
And then was like, oh, crap.
Because it looks exactly like that's the detective.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just very confused as to what exactly...
No, that was...
And also because early on you, when they went into... But like they're showing, you know, like pictures of, you know, ancient Mayans with this case and everything. But when they go in the house, on the kitchen counter, there's like entrails. Yeah. So like the guy has no organs, but when they go in, they're right there.
Yeah.
On
the but it was just the fact that what didn't look like the husband from the page previous, it was very confusing. Yeah. And that just totally pulled me out of the thing.
It's only four issues.
Right. I'll stick with it. I thought the concept was intriguing.
Yeah.
I just found that art right there, I'm like, well, is it the husband? Is it not?
It does feel like you're going to be able to drive a truck through the plot holes in this.
Yeah.
But, like, tonally, it's very good.
Because they only have, like, 3 days left on the case, and they're, like, really close to finding it.
And it's weird that they're like, we have 3 weeks left, but then the number is 3 days to give it to somebody.
Yeah.
Because that confused me, because I was like, wait, are they related? And then I was like, no, they're both three, but they're, I don't know, that... You know, because they said we have a month. It wouldn't have drawn any connection to that. But anyway, that was good. The last book I'll talk about was Venom number 33. This King in Black series, I've been reading Venom and the main King in Black book. I haven't read any of the tie-ins. This book is so... Like, the two together are so terrible.
Okay.
Because they are basically just... One, the King in Black tells it from Dylan's point of view, and then Venom retells it from Eddie Brock's point of view, and there's a lot of overlap, so you're getting a ton of the story, like, again. There's very little new here. So, the first, like, 4 or 5 pages of this are a complete recap, just to show us kind of where in the timeline we are, and then... Eddie Brock, basically, he goes to hell with Rex. I can't remember the guy's last name, but he's a symbiote guy too. They go basically into the hive, and they see all the guys who are in the hive. And then from the hive, they escape the hive, and by escaping the hive, they go to like hell. It's like it's the void, but it's basically hell.
Okay.
And they pick up Flash Thompson along the way, and Flash Thompson is wearing the Agent Venom gear.
Okay.
The white gear. And
Anti-Venom?
Anti-Venom, yeah. Thank you. He basically says, you know, he tells Eddie, oh, Eddie, you're a hero. It's not just me who's, a hero. You're a hero, too. And he kind of sacrifices himself in this hell. So that him doing that pulls Null into this hell. And it ends with Null holding Eddie Brock kind of over a cliff. The same way, like, 3 issues ago, he held him over off a building in New York and dropped him. And he ultimately died from that. So, like, we are basically just hitting the exact same story beats all over again. Because he drops him, he dies, he goes to hell as a ghost, and now he's going to kill him again. So he's going to get, like, double death. Which I think...
I hate double death.
Yeah.
It's like double secret probation.
Yeah. So I think this is like a way for, like, Donny Cates to be like, oh, you know, death is never final in comic books, so I'm going to kill him twice. And it's just...
And still not be dead.
Yeah. It's like so... Because the whole reason Venom is supposed to end is because, hey, you kill Eddie, there's no more Venom. Right? So
except like the three other people that's been Venom.
Yeah. It's more than that. I don't know. This is bad even for like a Marvel event standard. So I don't know why.
It's funny when the Marvel apologist says something like that.
I don't think I'm a Marvel apologist, but like Marvel, 80% of the books Marvel puts out are crap, right? And the rest are like threes and fours. There's very few fives. But anyway, that's it for me.
Firepower number 8. There's no big thing that really happens in this issue. It's more just like the family members getting together, putting a plan. They're gonna go follow the old kung fu master someplace to try to stop them, and so they get onto a plane to fly there, and once they're in mid-flight, they get attacked by one of like the, you know, ninja assassins people, and they have like a little bit of fight, and Owen goes to throw her out of the plane, but within also gets sucked out of the plane with himself, which is where kind of the issue ends with both of them in like mid free fall. So that should be interesting for the next issue. Future State the Flash 2. This wasn't a really good series. I'm really looking forward for the regular Flash book to come back, even if it, you know, with the, you know, different creative teams and stuff. But Wally's is possessed by something and killing people. Barry's been stuck in his lab trying to come up with all these, the gear and stuff, using all the like the trickster's powers and stuff again, and he eventually is able to kind of save him, but it ends up killing Wally, and like, but the thing that possesses him is still like living on, because like it feeds off of like false hope and things like that. So Barry was the one actually kind of keeping him alive and stuff like that, and ends up getting turned into some kind of like weird ghost thing. But his ring, his Flash ring that he saved a whole bunch of data by studying the thing, gets left behind, and the Beast Boy cyborg. Conjoined thing from the Teen Titans Academy. Shows up and grabs the ring and says like, oh, we might have a way to defeat it now, which we'll probably see what happens in, you know, the issue that came out this week of the Teen Titans Academy. The next Batman 3.
I read that. This was not good.
Yeah,
I've read a lot of the Future State, but I've passed on all the Batman stuff. I read that first one that had Outsiders and
Arkham Knight,
and mm-hmm. I didn't care.
Those were the backups.
Yeah, they're the backups for this one. But like, it was Batman is helping these two criminals escape, but he gets shot, and he has he knows he's bleeding internally, so he's like, I'm gonna take off my armor. When I do, take this flare and stab me with it, because that's gonna cauterize the wound so I don't bleed out. And it almost feels like it's not telling a story, it's just a bunch of scene. Hey, it'd be cool if Batman did this. Yeah. It'd be cool if Batman did that. But there's no real story that I can tell.
Then the husband turned on him because he wants the award and stuff like that. And I can't even remember how that story ended. The Outsider story was okay. It's weird, like, Black Lightning is like almost like a living like lightning, like electricity kind of thing. Katana has like samurai armor and stuff like that. And then I don't even think I finished the Arkham Knight story.
That was not the first one of those was not good.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I don't know. Again, I'm looking forward to getting back to like just some kind of normal Batman
series. I think just tell a story.
Yeah.
Tell you have Jace Fox now as Batman. Fine, tell the story.
Yeah.
Not.
And then I think that's like a lot of thing with the future state, especially with the Batman stuff, is like there's a lot of things that you don't know how, like, you know,
it's
how it happened.
It's,
like,
it's almost like they, and I think this is on purpose because it's they just kind of like, it's like, oh, we're gonna go into the future and we're gonna show you a couple of like scenes that are in the future at some point unknown, maybe 2 years from now, maybe 20 years from now. But like,
and it's some books without go context, together and some...
you are not getting a full story. It's just like, you know, it's a peek.
Because like the whole magistrate and the peacekeeper things, that stuff could be cool, but with it not having any idea on like how it happened, really, and just it being thrown in there, it's like,
why? Clearly, it has something to do with the mayor. With mayor,
mayor not, one eye.
Yeah.
And then it's just like whenever we get back to the regular series, like how much like
does this matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like,
well, the other thing is, now that I know where it's going, I don't want to.
As he starts setting up the magistrate, you're gonna be like,
oh, the magistrate's coming. Ugh.
But then the last thing I read was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Jenica 2. This is the fourth volume in the series. It starts a different story, because in the last one it dealt with those like underground like mutants who are like raging out and stuff like this. This one is Jenica is still trying, you know, struggling with like who she is now and stuff, and she's like going out on patrol through the city, and she sees like this I think she's like an antelope, I think. Is that those deer, like, kind of look like deers, but they got, like, the real long, like, back horns, I think. And she's trying to, like, argue with the guards that she, you know, they have to let her go, she has to leave, she wants to go home, they have to let her leave, and stuff like that. And she's, like, dressed nice in, like, this big, like, expensive coat and stuff like that. And Jenica steps in to, you know, like, hey, you're gonna get in trouble, you can't do that. And so she tells Jenica about, like, how she was just, like, in... I think it's Manhattan that got changed into Mutant Town. But, you know, she just happened to be in there doing some shopping and stuff whenever the bomb went off. And, like, her kid's back at home, you know, and she misses him and she wants to go see him and stuff like that. They haven't been able to, like, you know, like, any kind of phone call she tries to make to him and stuff like that. Don't get through to him, gets dropped or whatever. So Jenica's like, hey, I can't take you, but I'm able to go and, like, sneak out without getting, you know, caught and stuff like that. Give me a note and an address, and I'll go and take the note to your son for you. So she does that. And then, because, like, I can't remember if she told Jenica or not, but, like, she is, like, part of, like, she's within, like a crime family kind of thing. So there's, a lot of security at the house, and she has to take out a couple guards. Not at first. She's able to sneak in, and, like, at first when the kid sees her, she, you know, the kid screams and stuff, and she's like, it's fine, I have this note from your mother. And the kid actually ends up liking her, but because he screamed, the guard shows up, she has to take a couple of them out, and, you know, leaves. But before she does, the kid has, like, this action figure, and she's like, hey, you know, he tells her thanks, and he's like, hey, and gives her the action figure and tells her to give it back to his mom because it's, like, his favorite figure and stuff. So she does that. She goes back to Mutant Town, and she, you know, she talks to her, gives her this figure.
Master rules Mutant Town. Sorry.
And, And then, you know, it tells her that, like, she could probably take another note to him, but it'd have to, you know, it'd have to be, like, a week or so to, like, you know, let the heat die down and stuff. And she's like, that's great. Thank you so much. She goes to leave. And then, like, somebody steps out of the shadows and, you know, type of like, oh, yeah, I think we got her and stuff. And she just, like, leaves the action figure on the, you know, laying there on the street. So if that is her actual son or some other kind of, you know, nefarious deed is going on. But also, they changed the artist for this issue. So it's a little bit different from the previous Jenica series, but still a pretty good issue. And that was it.
Okay, I have two more. One was Future State Swamp Thing 2.
Yeah, I read that.
Where they go and they find that the Floronic Man has been planning on trying to wipe out all life on Earth by using obsidian from the... What was that book?
Where is that? Alan Scott's...
Yeah, it was in All-Star Squadron. I think that was the book he was in. But and basically he releases something that covers the Earth in darkness. But Swamp Thing sacrifices himself. He kills all of his children because basically each of them served a different purpose. One was hope. One was doubt, all these different things, because he you know, realized where he was and what his job was, and he sacrifices himself to make, like, this giant tree that goes up and goes above the darkness to keep the green alive. And then there's people still living.
We also find out that he was at least partially to cause, like, the destruction.
Yeah.
To begin with.
Of society and stuff. Yeah, so I guess we'll find out more about that in the miniseries. But I thought it was good. A good little two-parter that did have an ending.
Yeah.
Whereas some of these other ones didn't. And I missed one. I have another one. Chain to the Grave was an interesting one. This is a new one from IDW. And it's this bank robber... was murdered by his partner, and all of a sudden he comes alive, and his wife had, it was only supposed to be like a day, but it was a couple weeks that he was in the ground, and his wife had paid like a Native American shaman to bring him back, and she did, and he comes back like he was shot in the face, so he's missing his eye, he looked kind of like Jonah Hexy, and... I forget. Then she and the kids, and they're all going somewhere, and they had to take a train somewhere, but he didn't have any money. And as they're getting on the train, he's ambushed by his former partner, who found out that he was back. And apparently he had stolen the gold that they had stolen and hid it from his partner, so that's why his partner shot him. And then it turns out that the only reason the wife... And it's interesting, he has to literally... carry his gravestone with him, and he's chained to it. So it's interesting, as they're trying to get away, he's having trouble keeping up to jump on the train, and he throws his gravestone on there, and then it drags him along to get up on. But it turns out that his wife, the only reason she brought him back was to find out where the gold was, and she had even double-crossed him. So now he's off with the shaman lady and his kids at the end of issue one on the train as they're getting away. So very interesting, you know, kind of like an old Western. But yeah, interesting. And he doesn't even know why he's alive. So it's, yeah, we'll see where this is going. So that's it. That's all I read. We talked about everything else.
So what's coming out next week?
Coming out next week. Sorry, it's under the recorder. Did you even look at it yet, Ben?
No.
Oh, you didn't even bother. Okay. Next week, we have American Ronin 5, last issue of that. I'm very interested to see how this
one
ends.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Black Cotton and Black Friday, I believe, are scout books. Maybe not, but Black Cotton is basically what happens if things change, like American history has been reversed.
Okay.
And now, between the blacks and whites. Yeah, exactly. Black Friday is a series where, basically about Black Friday and cleanup and the corporations are profiting off the chaos and the workers having to do stuff. Odd time for that to come out, but sure.
Yeah.
Devil's Highway trade paperback is out next week. That's from AWA.
Yep.
Ha Ha number 2. I enjoyed number 1. Hollow Heart number 1. Is out. This is a new one from Vault about What? You look confused, Brandon.
No, no.
Oh. A guy who's like his body is diminished so, and he's put in this like robot armor, and he is, you know, it's like security. Okay. He really no longer has a body, and then he meets a guy whose job is to maintain him, but he offers him a way out.
Mm.
So, Immortal Hulk Flatline. This is Declan Shalvey doing a one shot. King in Black number 4. I know Brandon sounds very excited about that.
Yep. Does this only go to 5?
Yes. Miles Morales Spider-Man is a King in Black tie-in. Penultiman number 5. Last issue of that is out. Picture of Everything Else number 2. That was another one from Vault that was interesting. Savage number 1. This is from Valiant. It's a follow-up to the series that came out a couple years ago. Second Coming Only Begotten Son number 2. Coming out, the Mark Russell book at Ahoy. Shadow Doctor number 1. This is... I forget who's doing this one. But the idea behind it is set back in, like, the 20s. Black man goes through medical school, becomes a doctor, but he can't get a loan to... He can't get a job at a hospital because he's black. He can't get a loan to open up his own practice because he's black, so he does the only thing he can. He goes to work for the mob. Thor number 12. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, number 2. I'll believe it when I see it.
Do you have enough for holds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're getting our full amount of this one. Okay. So it's like, how the heck do you order this one?
Yeah. Because
I got less of number 1 than I ordered, and how many went to the speculators because there was a shortage. And so, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully I'm not swimming in these. X-Men Legends number 1. This is a series where they're taking unfinished storylines by the writers from the 90s X-Men books and finishing them.
That shouldn't even count anymore. Like, depending on what...
Well, it's set, yeah, and it's set back then.
But depending with the way that...
Oh, I hear
you. The stories are set
up,
did that even
I don't
care?
Even if it matters, but it's like, how do you order this? How do you order this book?
You go back to 1992.
Yeah.
So you're selling at X-Men then.
Right. Well, it's
zero.
Yes, zero. So
it's going to be close to that.
And then there's a Young Hellboy, the Hidden Lands little miniseries about Young Hellboy. So they killed him, and now they're having to find all these ways to.
Well, since they killed him, yeah, they've been like
stories.
Hellboy 1945.
Right. Well, they've been telling these
like
past
that.
Stories. Yeah. So that's what we got next week. Grant Morrison month. That's about it, as far as events. That's all I got. Let's see. I don't think Mike's been having fun with the website yet, but we'll see if he attacks that. So website's pittsburghcomics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. And Pat, send us home.
That's the podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See you.